This is going to be real simple, and this is probably going to be shorter than I normally do it. And I lie sometimes. I don't really know, but I had a thought, like one. And so we're going to explore the thought that I had. So there's a little twist in the title if you have an outline. We are the light of the world. Can you believe it? And so that's my question. Can you believe it that he would entrust us to be the light of the world? Come on. And you think, well, Jesus is the light of the world. And he said so. And then before he left, he said, you guys are the light of the world. And I'll get to that in a minute. But that's part of the Sermon on the Mount, if you'll remember. And he says, you know, we're the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. When you think of Jesus, you don't very often think of salt, but you very often do think of light. So I'm not going to talk about the salt so much. I'm going to talk about the light today. So I just put a bunch of scriptures together today to help you believe the truth. Okay? And that also means that's helping me believe it. Okay? So that's where we're going. This is what we're going to do. Psalm 18, going to do Old Testament and New Testament as well. It says, for you light my lamp, talking to the Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. And I told the Lord something one day, thinking about that. I said, Lord, it says that you light my lamp. You know, so here, put more oil in it, whatever you need to do. And then you illumine my darkness. And then I said to him, well, why would you let me get in any darkness anyway? And he said, well, do you know what darkness is? And I thought, okay, I'm going to get a spicy, you know, right from the Lord definition. He said, darkness is you stepping out of the light. And I said, you got anything else? You know what I mean? But that's one of the ways we experience darkness, is just stepping out of the light, right? Now, how many of you know we're born into darkness, the Bible says? This world is set, established in darkness. So there's a darkness that's already there already, and we're born into it. But then there's also one sometimes either in just because of stupid human stuff. How many of you know we still do some stupid humans? I mean, how many of you know you do? I mean, I should have said that. I'll get that the next time. But the truth is we do, and sometimes it's just because we've put it on cruise, you know, and you're not alert. And other times, we're deceived. You know, we believe the advertisement. We believe that it's going to be as good. You know, I told people a million times, the mannequin wearing the clothes always looks better than you buying it and going home and putting on. It always looks better on the mannequin. Now, some of you look good in anything, and that's not true. But the reality is, things aren't always presented in their reality. And sometimes we step out of the real reality because there's something glittering, attaching, you know, attractive, and you get over there and you find out, oh, no. No, those weren't diamonds. Those were sequins. It's not real. So sometimes when he lights our lamp and illumines our darkness, it's because we've cried out to him because we're in darkness and we can't get out. I just want you to see that. And I want you to see how the Lord treats that. Because he doesn't say, suffer, sucker. You're the one that walked in the darkness. You know, he says, he's got the international ultimate universal BIC that he can light your... Or I don't know where that came from. But but he's able to light your lamp regardless of the circumstances. Right. Especially if you're desirous of the light. Okay? So he said, I light your lamp. I illumine your darkness. That's what God is like. And consequently, if we're the light of the world, we may need to play some parts in that as well. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Life, the light of God, is a lie breaker and a fear buster. And when he opens things up for you to see them the way that they really are, then you don't have to be afraid anymore. You know, he says, this poor man cried, and God answered me, and he defeated, destroyed, overcame all of my fears.
Wow. Wow.
Well, have you ever asked anybody what you're afraid of? And they'll tell you something stupid like elevator sticking or, you know. But deep inside, there's a lot of things people are afraid of. And in some cases, they're afraid of what they're believing isn't the truth. You don't have any reason to fear that. He is the one, and he's the only one. And I say, not only does he fill your cup or refill your cup, he gives you that cup. That's really true. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. That's pretty cool, isn't it? In your light we see light, which is to say, obedience produces revelation. Try it. That's kind of what he told me when I read that many years ago for the first time. Just try it. In your light, we see light. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, you're already in light. If you'll do the things I've already instructed you to do, you'll gain more light. And you'll have more revelation, more understanding. In your light, we see light. If that's the case, then it should give us the desire never to step out of the light. And isn't it interesting? He connects his light with the fountain of life. Light and life are very similar in the New Testament, Old Testament, doesn't matter. But God is light, and Jesus said, I'm the life. So very similar. And I have a whole thing on that I'm not going to do because it will take us a long time. But I'll come back and do that sometime. I will do that. This is one, I don't know if you've ever prayed any of these verses, but they're all good to pray. And that's just, you got to learn to pray the Bible. You just have to. It'll cement and confirm what you believe when you pray what the Lord has already said. And so this is a really good one. I have prayed this a bazillion times. Psalm 43:3. Oh, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and into your dwelling places. Isn't that cool? Send out your light and truth. Why? Because I got darkness and falseness stuff killing me, begging for me to say yes to him. I need light and truth. And he says, here, light and truth will escort you into his presence, escort you into his dwelling places. Oh Lord, send out your light and truth and let them lead me to your holy hill. I've prayed that and prayed that and prayed that. Because if I get to his presence the way he wants me to, everything else is going to get taken care of. And light and truth are really significant. Obviously, light brings vision. But the word for truth is the same word for reality. And when you've messed up or gotten teased into another reality or to step out of the one that you were in, you need light and truth to straighten you out, to give you true north again, so to speak. But I like that. He said, it's like they're escorts. They will lead you. Revelation always leads you. But light and truth will get you into his presence in a way that you can be instructed and reconstructed, whatever it is that you need. But when you don't sense his presence, I just dare you to pray Psalm 43:3. And you can do it. Oh Lord, please send out your light and truth, and please lead me to your holy hill. Or you can realize where you are and say, oh Lord, send out your light and truth and empower them to lead me where you want me and need me to be. Something like that. Now, you don't have to talk loud like I do, but it doesn't hurt. Every once in a while, get in the car or the shower where nobody can hear you and let it rip. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So proclamation, declaration of the truth parts the way, creates a way, leads you to the spot where he wants to get you, which is in his presence. How many of you know his presence has all sorts of different fathoms? I mean, he could want you to be peaceful. He could want you to be militant. He could want you to be joyous. He could want you to be quiet. I'm not as good at that one as I could be, but I'm serious. He puts these things, I always call these ammunition for your prayer gun. But these are to be used. They're weaponry. Walking in the light, living in the light itself does darkness harm. I love that. Well, I want to get into spiritual warfare. Good. Find out what God wants you to do and obey it. And you're just going to mess with the enemy in ways that you can't know. Because obedience is like love. John 14 says obedience and love are the same thing. Well, I want to love God. Good, do what he says. Well, I want to obey God. Good, love him. Same thing. It's a two-sided coin. And one is love and one is obey. Same coin. That was all free. See what else we have here. Be smarter if I just took that down there with me. But it's not smarter. Psalm 97, verse 11. Light is sown like seed for the righteous. One version says, light is strewn across the path of the righteous, like seed. So light is sown like seed for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Anybody have a garden or flower garden? Or when you were in kindergarten, you put two seeds inside a Kleenex and got them wet, and you know, so they could germinate, you could see what's happening. Light is sown like seed. Depending on the seed, the germination period time is less. I know when our kids were real little, we planted a garden so they could see how that worked. And being patient and wise like I was, I planted a whole bunch of radishes because they grow really quick. And I could show them, look at this, and pretty soon now there's this green thing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the other things didn't come up nearly as quick. Corn doesn't grow nearly as fast as a radish. But it's a seed. It comes from a seed. So it's like this. You're walking, doing the stuff. Walking in the light that you've been given, and light is sown. I should use the other arm. Light is sown like seed for the righteous. So it's light here. What do I do next? Oh, I guess I'll just stay in the path. Oh, now there's light there. It's a daffodil this time. Next time it's a cucumber. You know what I mean? The seed is different because the light needs to come up at a different time for a different use in a different season. Isn't that cool? If it's sown like seed, it doesn't all come up at the same time. And you don't know when it's going to come up. But you can count on the fact that it's been sown. So if you're, well, I got over here because it looked lighter. Well, see, the seed's over here. It's going to come up over here. Well, I don't see it yet. You're not there yet. Right? But when it comes, it's celebratory. I see, I know, I understand. He's with me. This is working. This is a great verse to pray. And it's a wonderful verse to pray for your kids and your grandkids. Because you can pray that, you know, before their graduation. I mean, you can pray for things that they can walk into later. Light is sown like seed. It says for the righteous. It means for the one who's in that right relationship with the Lord. I was going to start out with that, so I'll go ahead and pull this in, but don't you sometimes hear things or read things in the Bible and you go, what? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. And I knew it was the truth, but it was Thursday and I'd already not acted righteous. Now it's hard for you to imagine, but he says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I said, Lord, I don't get it. And he said, live with it. That's pretty much what he said. It's the truth. Live with it. And I said, Roger, you know, okay, I'll do that. Sometimes when we hear, church, individual people, sometimes when we hear, you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You start going like this, no, Lord, you're the light of the world. He said, you didn't listen to me. Before I left, I said, you're the light of the world. That's what he said. But I, like I said, you butt yourself right out of it. It's the truth. What do we do with that? Pray for the establishment and the confirmation of that truth in our everyday life. Because there are people who are born into darkness who are dying for us to be the light of the world. I'm telling you the truth. That's true individually and that's true corporately. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to know, just because I can't get my brain around it doesn't mean it's not the truth. Darn. I had all sorts of trouble with that because he would say all those wonderful things. You are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And I'm going, you know, I'm in Missouri. I mean, are you with me? But that's the truth. I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. That's the truth. And it's also truth that I'm in Missouri. So how do I do that? Well, you live this life in light of what's real in that life. Because spiritually, that's the truth. But I don't know if I could be accepted. I don't know if God likes me because I did this or I didn't do that. Dude, you're sitting at the right hand of the Father in Jesus. Everything there is perfect. Everything there is accepted. Everything there is approved. But I don't understand that. He goes, well, I mean, he told me this. And this is a long time ago. I was in youth ministry and I was preparing to go do like a youth conference thing and I was going to be the speaker and I'd never done that before. And I said, Lord, I'm stuck on this passage and I thought I was supposed to speak it, you know, from this and I don't understand. And I was pretty emphatic. I even got my keys. I went over to the old Baptist church where I was and they gave me keys. I could get in there anytime I wanted to. I was praying in the sanctuary, nobody there. And I said, Lord, I do not understand. I was like that. I had my kind of fist in the air. I wasn't mad at him. I was mad at me. I was desperate. And in my heart, I did not hear this audibly. Nobody spoke. John. That didn't happen. But in my heart, I heard this. He says, where is it written, thou shalt understand? And I thought, you even did King James on me, you know. And I said, I don't know where I could find that. And he said, love it, trust it, believe it. Understanding will come. You see, in his light, we see light. He's the fountain of life. He's going to bring light and life to us. Isn't that good? I don't care. That's not slow down, John. It doesn't much matter to me if there are verses or there are theological conundrums that I can't quite understand. That's not my job. My job is to know him and love him and help other people know him and love him. And that's your job too. So what about this? And I don't know. What about it? I'll look it up for you. I'll research that. But the truth is Jesus died for both of us. That's the truth. And so let's talk about something I know about. You know, don't get all caught up in the theological conundrums that, you know, just that. Do they matter to the theologians? Yes, they do. I'm not saying they're not important, but excuse me for a minute. I feel like John Wimber. Medication I'm taking because of the neuropathy I have because of the shingles I had, the medication just dry out your mouth. And last week, I got to the point where I couldn't hardly talk. And that's really, anyway. I mean, like, my mouth was sticking together when I was trying to talk. And God bless John Small, he caught it and texted Kurt and he said, get Brown some water. So this is a new bottle. This isn't the one from last week. I just wanted you to know. This is real dangerous because if it leaks, it gets all your stuff wet. Anyway, light is sown like seed for the righteous. And get the last part, and gladness for the upright in heart. How many glad people do you know? Hello? He says, light is sown like seed, and so is gladness. It's pretty hard when you're seeing something fresh from the Lord not to be pretty glad about it. Do you know gladness will help people find the Lord? Because the culture doesn't produce much gladness unless it's something that comes in a glass or is in a little pill. Right? So, us being glad is a good thing. Psalm 112, verse 4. I've always argued with the Lord about this a little bit. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He's gracious and compassionate and righteous. That's what he's like when he finds you in darkness and gives you light. But light arises in darkness. Now, so I'm walking, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as much as I can understand. And all of a sudden, it's kind of dark. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? You walk according to the orders that you've been given. And even in darkness, light will arise for you if you're upright in heart. I love that thing. Lord, wouldn't it just be better if I didn't get in darkness? You know, I mean, that I'd vote for that. No, you trust me and walk. And if you're walking in the light, if it becomes dark, if somebody darkens the path, if there are shadows there, I will light it up. That's light arises in darkness. So what's that? It's another reason to not be afraid. If you ask children what they're afraid of, a whole lot of them will tell you the dark, right? And some of those children have grown up as adults and they're still afraid of the dark. And so don't watch Halloween movies or whatever. Anyway, that's dark. But light arises. It arises in darkness if you're connected. If you're doing what he's told you to do the best you know how to do it. Now, sometimes there's stuff he tells you to do that you don't know how to do. That just happens. And I found out, I got a secret. Those things happen so you find out how to do it. And the next time, you'll know what to do. But, well, how do I know what to do? Just keep doing it, and he'll show you what to do. I have my little secret. I know I've told you this a number of times, but I'm going to tell you again. When I come up against something I don't know what to do, I just say, okay, Lord, let's do it. And I say, well, you do this, and you do this, and we're going to do this. And people say, "Is that? What do you think? Is that the right thing?" I said, oh, this is what we always do when we come up against this. And that's true. I'd never come up against it before. So it is what we always do. And even if it doesn't work right, it doesn't matter. He can correct you. But don't walk in fear. Now, it's hard when it seems dark or shadowy and you don't know what to do. That's hard. I mean, that tests you. But he's got you. He's got you. And he is light. So it's not hard for him to say, oh, let there be light. Light his path. And, you know, and so realizing that not being able to see perfectly what's there doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. It just means there's an opportunity for him to prove this verse out and give you light even though you're in darkness. Or you get in a dark situation. You know, an untimely death of someone, or a real bad sickness of someone, or somebody who's really been great gets taken out, you know, and you just go, why? You know, and you just go, and who's going to do what they did? And, you know, he's got all that. Walking it, you know, he'll end up actually making it more fruitful than it was. If that's the plan, it may be that the fruitfulness for that situation or that ministry or that whatever needs, that's not going to happen like that anymore. He's doing something different. Well, he can make that, he can light that up to you as well. The thing of, you've just about won the war when you refuse to be afraid. And light really helps you not be afraid. Okay, I don't really know what's going on, but yeah, I can see my hand in front of me. Let's go. See what happens. Psalm 119, verse 130. This is a beautiful verse. I'll try not to spend much time on it. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, one version says, the entrance and unfolding of your word brings light. Well, I just don't know what to do. Are you in the word? Are you giving the Lord a chance to unfold something to you? I was in a fabric shop with my wife. I don't hang out there, but I was with her. And because I was going to pay for whatever she was buying, and she was looking at something else. And, you know, this lady didn't hear right, and we were buying, like, I don't know, 3 yards or something like that, and she unfolded like 23 yards. So here's this bolt of fabric, and it's just folding and folding and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding, and like there was no end to it. And the Lord whispers to me, the unfolding of my word. And there's no end to it. There's no end. How much more do you want? You ordered only this much. I got this much and this much. Isn't that cool? The unfolding of his word brings light. And I thought, you know, I was really thrilled because he told me that, and really thrilled because she had to fold it back up and I only had to pay for 3 yards. But there was more than I understood on that little bolt. And I'm telling you, there's more than you've got figured out in the present situation and the way that you see it. My perspective was like, oh, well, there's plenty. You know, we're going to get 3 yards. We won't be using it all. I could have ordered like 40 yards. There was just, and in the Lord's situation, it's, there's no end to the unfolding. I really like that. You know, if you can get revelation at a fabric store, he's good. You know what I'm saying? That's sweet. Proverbs 4, verse 18. This is one that I really like. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. This life is progressive. And its process is important in a lot of things. And he says, this proverb, because this is the only one that's in our psalm, this proverb is, the path of the righteous is like the dawn of day. It just gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, which means you start out, you think, oh, this is the most amazing thing I've ever found. And that's exactly what I thought. And then you get going a little further and you go, no, this is even more amazing. And this is more amazing. And you know, there's some days, the amazing thing is that I'm still doing this. And he's still empowering me to do this. And that's amazing. So the main and plain can be pretty amazing, because there was a time I never had a day in my life like this. And now every day, he's a part of it. The path of the righteous is like the dawn. And you know what the other thing about dawn is? It comes every stinking day. And it comes when the days don't stink too, but path of the righteous is like the dawn. It gets brighter and brighter, but it doesn't stop. It comes every day. That's a really good one. And you can pray it every day. Well, why are you saying all this? So that we'll believe it. Because all of these things about light now apply to us. Well, I don't know how to be the light of the world. Well, stay on the path, man. Get on the path. Let that word unfold to you. Let his word show you the life that's in it. Right? And I, way back in the day when I was doing youth ministry, a young man said to me after I quoted this verse about the unfolding of the word, he says, listen, tell me what you want me to do. One time you're telling me I need to be walking in this path, and the next time you tell me I need to be reading the word. I can't be reading the word and walking down a path. I said, you just need more light. I thought that was pretty good, though. I lied to you about the time, I think. But Ephesians 5:7, this is a great little passage. He's talking about all the stuff that people do that they shouldn't do. And he says, don't be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness. I love that. The Lord tells you, you were formerly darkness. And you're going, what? No, I was a good kid. You know, no, you were everybody was formerly darkness. But now you are a light because of the Lord. In the Lord, you can walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You walk in the light and you'll end up doing and partaking goodness, righteousness, and truth. Trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. This verse just put rocket fuel in me when I discovered this years ago. That the Lord is happy that I'm trying to learn what's pleasing to him. He's not chastising me because I haven't. He's saying, listen, because you're trying to learn what pleases me, that's what pleases me. That's to me, I thought, you're better than I know. And he goes, well, you know. So he says, don't participate with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. Just expose them. Because everything that becomes visible is light. And so then he says, awaken, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's calling everybody out. Listen, if you don't know me, this is the time to find out and know me. Wake up. Be alert. And what he's saying to the church is, you're the light of the world. Hello? McFly, you know. Is there anybody in there? There's light in there. Talking about the church and each of us individually. I put the light of my life in you. And you are the light of the world. So we need to have a bushel basket collection. Because people put their light under a basket. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. I put the light in you so it'd shine through you. And don't use all this other stuff. Don't get all religious about stuff. And hide the light. Get it open. It's okay. If you're Superman, wear the suit. You don't have to hide it. And that's what he's saying. Don't hide it. Awake to the fact that I've called you to be the light of the world. Well, what do I have to do? Just walk. Recognize that you have. Recognize that you are. Recognize that if you're walking with him, people who aren't walking in the light, whether they are saved or not, are going to recognize that you're walking in the light. That's the plan, that they would recognize that you're walking in the light and find out why. Now, you don't have to buy LEDs and tape them to your shirt. That's what the church has done. Some tried to make us look like we're something we're not. Now, what we are is regular, ordinary people who have had an extraordinary experience with a living God. And he is light, and because we're his, and he's our Father, we can't help but be light. I mean, I was raised by a man that beat me and was horrible and ugly and, you know, alcohol and all that kind of stuff. And that's in me. But I gave my heart to the Lord. And now the light of the world is in me. And I don't have to be that way. I don't have to live off of that DNA. I got new DNA from a new father. And he's light. So I'm going to be light. I don't have to be afraid of that or ashamed of that
or too proud of that.
I just need to say, oh, he put me in this world to be light. So, yes, I will be. Helps me. I shine pretty easy. Right? But do you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing spectacular about me except for the Spirit of God lives in me. Yes. I'm in him and he's in me. I can't say I'm not part of the light. I can act like I'm not, but that's not the truth. The reality is, we are the light of the world. Well, what are we going to do about that? Hopefully, quite a bit.
That's right.
But not recognizing that, not living in that way, then we'll hide ourselves. And religion does that. Religion helps you hide behind all sorts of busyness and unnecessary stuff or self-righteous stuff that makes people run as far away as quickly as they can. I better quit that. Wake up, sleeper, is what it says. And I'll shine on you. And when he puts the shine on you, you're going to have shine. And like it or not, you won't like it, you'll love it. I mean, that's really true. Now, I'm going to read you one other verse and then we're going to quit. Actually, two other verses, but 1 John 5. This is the message we've heard from him and announced to you that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. See, light, one of the things that light does for a Christian is to show you where you're messing up. Why would he do that? So you don't have to mess up anymore. But if you don't know it and you can't see it, then he'll bring some conviction to you so you can go, oh, that doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel good. I need to open up my heart and say, Lord, I've messed up. Thank you that you always forgive me. You know, 1 John 1, 9. But he actually says in Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. This is Matthew 5:14. A city set on a hill can't be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So, we're the light of the world, individually and corporately. We are the light of the world in the world. So, we need to be the light of the world in here together, but we need to be the light of the world out there too. We're a lamp in the darkness. God's presence in us and among us is to be a lamp on a lampstand. Now, we happen to be a church on a hill. And he says, you know, you're a city on a hill, you can't hide. And so we do some things trying not to hide. Once a month, we do a food giveaway working with harvesters. In the summertime, we have a big yard sale for everybody in the region, and hundreds of people come. We do a trunk or treat thing. We had 2,000 kids here in our parking lot last year. What is that? That's trying to help people to find the city on a hill. Because if you read it up and look it up, you know, those cities that were sitting on the hill had white limestone on them. So even in the dark, they could be found. Yeah, that's really strong, isn't it? We're supposed to be a place like that, that it's easy for people to find. Now, we also need, and it says, we're a light on a hill. So people in darkness need to find it easy to find us. So the more things we can do out there that give people, just a thought that the fact that we work with the school, and do a bunch of stuff with them. Why? So people can know that we're here and that they can have an idea, at least lodged in their mind, they know where a church is. I had some people, we were praying for a young person from Estonia, and person here knew one of the people we know in Estonia and contacted them and said, you know a pastor, could you call him and have him pray for us? Because our baby might be dying. And I thought, how lost is that, that this person who was in Michigan had to call back to Estonia and find a friend because friend knew me? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So they couldn't find a light on a hill, is what I'm trying to say. And didn't know anybody but this person back in Estonia that prayed. And I'm going, oh my, that's pretty lost, isn't it? Lost in darkness. So here's the thing. Light helps us see. We can see more clearly. Light, when it comes, just destroys the gloom that grayness brings. It just destroys it. It sucks up darkness. But here's another thing that light does. And man, that's an expression of like all of us, yeah. We all together and individually need this aspect of light. One of the things light does, it makes colors more visible. And you can appreciate color and you can distinguish color in the light. And in heaven, we're going to hang out with every nation, tribe, and tongue. Every color. And it's not the kind of rainbow that we have today. It's the kind of the one that he had when he put it in the sky. And so we as a church in America need so much light because we don't do good with color. We need to be able to distinguish and appreciate every color. I could stay on this for a while, but I'm late and I need to quit. But that's part of the reason we are the light of the world. There shouldn't be anything here that would keep us from caring and loving each other because of color. And, I'm brown, come on. I'm kind of being funny, but the idea is being able to distinguish color, to see it and appreciate it. Just that is ministry to people. It is. That doesn't mean, oh my God, we got to start praying. We need two more Asians. And you know, that's not the point. The point is we need to have the disposition of heart that feels like everybody's welcome. I don't think we do too bad on that, to be totally honest. But we're not the whole church. And it's not, we couldn't be better at that. But recognize walking in the light helps you see color better, helps you escape what the grayness does. Overcast days, gray days, cause people to cringe just a little bit and say, oh, no, nothing good is going to come out of today. Light appears, and it totally makes everything look different. And it changes your disposition. What we need to know, even when it's real cloudy, it's really sunny up there, right? So even if the sun itself isn't shining, that doesn't mean we can't walk in the light. Being the light of the world is a pretty cool thing. And he says, do the stuff you do. Let your good works, your gifts working, your ministries working, let them be seen before men, so they have a reason to glorify God in heaven. Wow. So what's he talking about? Listen, I'm going to quit here. So you got to listen. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Walking in the light, recognizing, oh, we're supposed to be walking in the good works he laid out before the foundation of the world. Those are the things that men can see and glorify your Father in heaven. Ephesians 2:10. Should be part of Matthew chapter 5. It's walking out those things that he caused you to be born again to do. That's the truth. That's why you were born. One of the reasons you're born again, I'm going to give you stuff to do. Because you are my workmanship, created for good works, that I picked out before the foundation of the world. And it allows us to walk out our destiny individually and corporately. And when we're doing that, people see that and go, that's not them. That's beyond them. There's something godlike in that. It smells like heaven to me. Just tie those two verses together, and I think you'll find, wow, this whole thing about being the city on the hill, this whole thing about being the light of the world, it's tied into the plan. It's all part of what the Lord had laid out before the foundation of the world. And we get to be the beacons. We get to be the reflectors of the light. As a matter of fact, this is very dangerous to say, but I'm going to say it. Jesus was the source of light. Let there be light. And he's the force and power of light. Amen. But in this day, he's called us to be the source of light to people. Wow. So he gave that one up to us. So being to see that fulfilled is a big deal. So why don't you stand with me? I'm sorry I took a little bit longer today, but I didn't want to make this go 2 weeks. So somebody says, so why did you preach 2 weeks? I want us to accept it's not really even a challenge. It's a proclamation. Jesus said, it's like, so now here's the reality. I'm leaving. I'm going up there. You guys are now the light of the world. And he handed us, if you can listen to me, hear me say this. He handed us the mantle of him being the light of the world. And now we are. Think about it. Well, you're making a big deal out of this. Yeah. It's a big deal. And when this popped into my head, I thought, oh, I want to talk about that. And I want this to grow. I mean, I want this to grow in us. And I know we're on a hill and all that. But, you know, and there was this hill was here before there was a church here. You know, I mean that. But I also understand people would look at us and say, oh, that's that place up there on the hill. So, you know, it merges a little bit. It's like, oh, yeah, this is especially true to us, for us, because it's even true geographically. You know, that's not true for everybody. So, Lord, thank you for the declaration that you made. And when I said that, I just saw something. It was like we opened up and found a pearl. And Lord, that pearl is, well, yes, what you call us in that sense, the pearl of great price, worth selling everything for. And so, Lord, today we want to sell out to believing that we are the light of the world and that we walk in a path, even when we can't figure it out, like seed. Light's been sown, and we're going to walk right into it because you've already sown it. It's like you're lining up, giving us cues to our destiny. And we want to walk out the things that you have predestined to be real and true for us. And they don't have to be beyond our knowing. They're just sometimes beyond our reach. So if we walk in the path you've given us, we'll find them. And so, Lord, I don't know other than to say this. We believe in what we've read and heard today. And we believe that there is if I can say it, like a calling, like an unction, like a mission for us to be the light of the world. Grow us. Cause us to embrace your light. And Lord, kick the fear out of all of us. Huh. Lord, nail down this truth for us. Now, I know we've been here a while, but I feel real bad. In the last 2 weeks we've done this. If you need to be prayed for any reason, would you just walk over, walk past somebody and step out into the aisle real quickly, please? We had a kind of a healing testimony here in the middle of things, and I was going to stop and do it then. I just didn't. So if anybody wants to be prayed for, I know it's late. We're good. Okay. We're good? Jean, are you in the... You are. Okay, good. Need some people around her. If you were here, put your hand up if you wanted to be prayed for, because I can't see who's in the edge of the aisle and who's not. Okay, good. Good. Lord, thank you. You guys go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. Thank you for, as Wes said today, breathing in, singing out. Thank you for your presence. And Lord, I pray that you would move on anyone whose body is not well and cause complete healing and, if necessary, reconstruction so that life happens the way you created it to happen. Thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, I would love to hear that we just went out and lived our lives this week in the places that we do, and we had opportunity to be known as a person of light, that somebody said, you must know the Lord or whatever. And if you have some divine appointment set up, we would love to hear about them. Put that before you now, Lord. Thank you for the patience of people listening today, and I pray that you would cause them to leave with something life-changing in their heart. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for staying with me. Yeah, bless your heart.